And I've got a great, great word for you today. How many want a good life? I ask you again, how many want a good life? Okay. Well, you can have a good life. How many recognize you can have a good life? And I want to tell you you can have a good life, but I want to show you from the Word of God how simple it is to have a good life. It's not complicated, it's very simple, and God wants you to have that life. But there are some requirements. Somebody say there are some requirements. And it's important that you understand those requirements. If you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, the sermon title is, A Good Life is Simple. Just Obey. A good life is simple, just obey. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 17. If you don't have your Bible or you're not sure where Deuteronomy is, don't sweat it. We have it right here up on the screens. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 7. By the way, Deuteronomy is at the beginning of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So it's the fifth book in the Bible towards the front. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 7, God says this, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God." You shall diligently. Everybody, put your Italian on, okay? Get your Italian on. Everybody, get your Italian on, okay? And say diligently. Diligently, okay? You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I want to communicate to you today, that you can have a good life. But to have a good life, you have to be diligent to keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. Notice, God commands you, but he doesn't force you. How many know a commandment is different than a force? So he commands us, but God doesn't force us. Look at this next verse. Oh, no. Go back to 17. The commandments of the Lord your God. Whose commandments are we to keep? Here's whose commandments we're to keep. The Lord our God. We have somebody who is over us. He's the one true and living God, and we have to do what he tells us to do. It's his commandments. It's not whatever you think, whatever your friends think, whatever your neighbors think, whatever. No. We have to obey God's commandments. Look at this next verse. You shall do what is right and good. Watch it. Hear it again. In the sight of the Lord. How many know everyone's got an opinion? Some people think this is okay. Some people think that's okay. Some people think that this is okay. Most people nowadays think everything's okay. Most people think the only thing that's not okay is to say that something is wrong. Isn't that the society we live in? No, you're not supposed to. No. Catch the irony in here. There is something wrong. But what's wrong is to say that there's something wrong. Well, how ridiculous. You're saying something's wrong. What are you saying what's wrong? You're saying it's wrong to say anything's wrong. I'm saying you're wrong. So, did somebody catch all that? I know this is complicated, but follow me. No, you make a judgment. Your judgment is everything is okay. My judgment is not everything's okay. But I'm basing my judgment on what the Bible says, and the Bible is true. I'm here to testify. God is true. The Bible is true. And when you will run your life according to what the Word of God says, it's going to go good for you. It's going to go good for you. When you don't, there are going to be consequences on that other side. Consequences that many of us have lived and walked through. But God says today is the first day of the rest of your life. You can get on track. How many know God is gracious to let you get on track? Amen. That's why he's having me preach this message. And I believe probably every single one of us need to hear this. But my point is, what is good in the sight of the Lord. It's all kinds of people. You know what I mean? You'll have all kinds of friends who think, no, this is okay, that's okay, this is okay. Now even our government has gotten into it. And you know, we have people in Sacramento who said, no, the standard's not here. It's okay to do this now. And it's okay to do that now. People in Washington D.C., same thing. And they're going to get upset with you because you say, no, let God be true in it. No, there's a higher standard. Well, listen, they can pass the law all they want. They can pass these laws all they want. But it still doesn't change. We are going to be responsible to what God says. Amen? We can't allow them to affect us. We should affect them. Amen. And it will be well with you. By the way, I say this on purpose. You know what? Make sure you vote this week. And make sure you're voting for people who are, you know what, believe in the principles of God. When you hear people who are talking about things that are ungodly, don't vote for them. That's a problem. The Bible says, when the ungodly are in office, the people suffer. That's my whole sermon. If you're obedient to God, I'm going to show you in the Word. When a country obeys God, things go well. And the problem with our country is starting to get off the moorings of the Word of God. That's why they're taking the Ten Commandments. They want to take it down. That's why they want to take crosses down. And all you know what it's about? It's about, no, you know what? We come up with a better way. And you listen to what they're coming up with. It's ungodly, and you need to make sure you know who these people are, and you stop voting for them. I don't care what your parents were. Yeah, but my parents were this, and so I'm that. Man, my... Slow down, Pastor. Okay. Listen, my parents did a lot of things right. But my parents did some bozo things. Okay. I need to not do the bozo things my parents did. Amen. I'm just saying. Make sure. Well, listen, we can't afford for you to stay at home, you know what, this election season and let everybody else figure out who was going to govern us. I mean, guys, y'all Californians, do you see what's happening to our state? We're losing it to a bunch of ungodly people. You can say amen louder than that. Amen. Here's the good news. We can change it. And there are some very godly people running. But they need our support. Well, who are those people? You can figure it out. It's very simple. Just listen to what they're saying. It's very simple to figure out who these people are. It's not complicated, guys. All right, that's all free. Does somebody receive that? Amen. Thank you. Let me go back. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it might be well. That it might be well for who? For you, that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Here, I got another sermon title. Connect the dots. Connect the dots. Connect the dots. When you're obedient to God, it's going to go well for you. When you're obedient for God, here's what he's telling them. To the Israelites, when you're obedient to God, you're going to walk into the land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to walk into the good land. There's a good land that God has for you. But you're not going to walk into that land being disobedient to God. And that's what happened. The Israelites, God wanted to bless them, wanted them to go into a land. But what happened was, they didn't trust God. Can we go a little deeper? You know what is at the heart of disobedience to God? Not trusting Him. They saw the Sadducees and the Hittites and the all the parasites. They saw all the ites. And here's what they did. They freaked out. They thought, and God said, "No, go in. I don't worry about the. Don't worry. I will do what it takes." How many know God can make? You know, God can take a little, you know what, shepherd boy, and he can beat the biggest guy that the Philistines have in one shot. God's got a time when, you know what, they march around the walls, they shout, and guess what? All the walls tumble. Another time in the Old Testament, the Israelites just stood there and watched as the enemy fought each other. Hello? God is a supernatural God. And they sat there and they're looking at it naturally, thinking, no, we can't do this because they're so big. Can I tell you what? Stop. We've got to be smart enough to not think that we're not very smart. Did you catch that? We got to be smart enough to recognize, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to do what God says. And there's times that it's absolutely will be against what your mind says. You have to defer to God at that point in time. Lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. And you, watch this, that why? That it might be well for you, that you might go into the land. I'm just saying this. Guys, can I be honest? There are situations that we were right at the precipice. Oh, calculations. Right at the precipice. George, I am smart. The words are in here, but sometimes they don't get out of here. Sometimes you'll be right at the precipice, right at the base of a miracle, of you walking into a supernatural, what you've dreamt about, and God has a land flowing with milk and honey, a blessed land where you can walk and live in houses that you didn't build, and walk in the blessings of wells that you didn't dig. Here's the thing, but sometimes you don't, and not because God doesn't want you to walk into that land, but because you don't put your trust in God. What I'm telling you is connect the dots today. If you'll just be obedient to what God has asked you to do, you know what? Then what's going to happen? Then that you may go in. Who goes in? Those people who are doing what God says. That you might go in and possess a good land. What's your good land? What has God promised you? What are you dreaming about? Guys, understand, God has placed those dreams in your heart. But in order to fulfill those dreams, you know what? You got to step up to the plate. Amen? I remember when I was playing Little League. You know what? I was on the Angels, by the way. I'm just saying. Maybe next week I'll show you a picture. Me and I was on the Angels, amen. But I'm just saying, I remember when I stopped playing baseball, and I remember going and watching a Little League baseball game, and I remember thinking, you know what? Unbelievable. They're not pitching that fast. I shouldn't have been scared. You know what was the one thing that stopped me and a little bit more than anything else? I was afraid to be hit by a ball. Come on. How many did that freak you out when you're little? And I don't want to get hit by the ball. You know what I mean? And then when I was older, how many know sometimes you just need perspective? Then I remember when I was older thinking, oh, my goodness, you know what? I mean, how, you know, come on. They weren't pitching that ball very fast. You know, it's like, everything's going to hurt you. See, that's what I'm telling you. Guys, you know what? Satan's bark is bigger than his bite. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. I'm getting ahead of myself. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verse 19. Look what it says. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Let's notice some things in the word. Notice God sets before us, watch this, life and death, blessing and cursing. Guys, for many of us, we're not walking in the promised land, not because the promised land wasn't set before us, but because when it was set before us, there was also enemies in the land that God promised he'll take care of those enemies, but we were too scared to walk in his obedience. The blessings were there. We just had to be obedient. Oh, that's another good sermon title. The blessings are there. We've just got to be obedient. They're there. They're right in front of us. He set us before. But what we have to do is we have to choose life. Analyze your life. There's choices. Some of you choices that you continue to make. Oh, I can't lose weight. Yes, you can lose weight. Watch this. Can I show you? I'll give you a plan. If somebody want to lose weight, I'm going to give you a plan. I'm asking, if somebody want to lose weight, I know I'm being out there, but I'm not, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to show you guys how to lose weight. Stop eating sugar. Guys, no. See, that's a problem. Already check it off the list. You know what I mean? Guys, listen. Whoa. Just give me 30 seconds. Okay, a minute and a half. Okay. Stop eating sugar. Okay. Don't eat so much bread, which the bread's a big deal because everything is part of the bread. But if you eat a hamburger, you know, take one of the buns and make it a frisbee, okay? And then you're... The burger tastes better because you, anyway. Frisbee, one of the things. Just cut down, get sugar off, you know, and don't eat so much bread. And watch this. And, don't eat late. Come on, don't eat late. If you do those three things, watch this. You can lose a quarter of a pound every day. Quarter pound a day, that's not very much. No, watch this. See, that's what happens. See, Pastor George, isn't it great when we pray for people and they instantaneously get healed? Instantaneously. Isn't that great? But Pastor George, isn't it great when people just make good choices in their life? Godly choices. And we see God doing, isn't it just as much supernatural when they are delivered from things because they're making good choices? Listen, I'm asking, isn't that okay? We're like, man, you know what? If God don't get... No, there's all kinds of things that God has said in your life, and he's saying, you choose. You got to make some good choices to have a good life. Okay, if you do those three things, you'll lose a quarter of a pound every day. You could lose more, but you'll at least lose a quarter of a pound every day. Quarter pound. See, that's a problem. You know, you eat wheatgrass, and you eat spinach, and you eat broccoli, and you get in front of the mirror, you know what, 2 days later, and you're like, there's nothing happening. Okay, watch this. Quarter pound every day, that is in 4 days, it's 1 pound. In 8 days, it's 2 pounds. Watch this. 8 days, it's 2 pounds. We'll round it down to 1 week. Okay? So in 1 week, you can lose 2 pounds. at 2 pounds a week in 1 month, how much weight have you lost? 8. Ooh, you're looking good now. How many know you're going to fit better in your clothes if you lost 8 pounds? Watch this. In 2 months, how much is it? 16. In 3 months, what is it? Man, you're back to fighting weight now, boys. Do you understand what I'm saying? Guys, and listen, it's silly, and I don't want anybody to be conscious, subconscious about, you know what, I don't care how much weight you are. I don't care what you eat, and I don't care. I mean, I do, but I kind of don't. But it's not about that. You know what it's about? It's about just using an analogy to say, guys, understand many of us, the mess that we're in is because of the continuing bad choices that we've made. Recognize how God has a plan that he's laid out. And he said, guys, listen, if you'll do it my way, I'm telling you, you're going to have a good life. I'm telling you, you're going to have a good life. Now, who's this going to be? So blessings and cursings. Blessings and cursings. Yeah, but my dad, my dad wasn't even around. My dad was a drunk. My dad was in jail most of my life. I know that. I know there's, for every person, they got a story of why they can walk in defeat. Every single one of you have that reason, have that purpose, have that excuse. Why? Because in front of you is both blessing and cursing. You're living on the earth. You're around ungodly people. Some of them godly, but still making bad choices. You're going to be affected by the curse that is on this earth. Okay, get over it. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm trying to say whatever has happened has happened. It's time to say, you know what? God is on my side, and I'm not going to use that as an excuse. Yes, there's cursing in front of me. Yes, there's death in front of me. Yes, and I can choose that all day long. How do you choose that? You just keep on focusing on the negative, focusing on what happened to you when you were 8, when you were 12, when you were 16, when you were 24, when you were 34. Whenever it happened to you, okay, it happened. We don't live in heaven yet, but we have opportunity because God has set before us death and life. Who needed to hear that today? Stop whining in your Cheerios. All you get is soggy Cheerios. It doesn't help. And it just, what it does is just regurgitates the perpetualness of, it's not my fault, it's not my fault, it's not my fault. Well, listen, there's some choices that you've made and it's not your fault. But it's your fault how you react to those choices. And that is your fault. And you know what? And you're called to not react negative to negative things that are put before you. You have an opportunity to choose life. Why? Watch this. That both you and your descendants might live. That both you and your descendants might live. Let's park there for a little bit. That both you and your descendants might live. Can I tell you what? Obviously, you make good choices, you're going to live a better life. But you have little ones who are watching you. You have ones that are over you that are watching you. And I don't know where they're at. I don't know if they're this old or this old or this old. Some of you have ones that are this old. But, you know, they're still in your household, right? You know, some of you have 12-year-olds that are over you, but you're really over them. Do you get it? What I'm saying is, look at the promise. The promise is what? Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants might live. Parents, you don't live in a bubble. You don't live in a bubble. Your kids are watching you. And they watch whether you go to church or whether you don't go to church. They hear you. I've told you this story before, but I'll tell it again. It's one of my favorite stories ever. We were at Magic Mountain. How many know I don't cuss at church? I could get an amen on that. How many know I don't cuss at church? Praise the Lord. Amen. How many know I don't cuss out of church? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. So, you know what? I take the kids to Magic Mountain. I was younger back in the day. I used to like all that stuff. Now, I don't like that stuff so much. But Tyler and I were on a ride, and it was a roller coaster. And for the whole day, I'm holding my phone. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't even want to put it in my pocket. I wanted to hold it, make sure I didn't lose it. The whole day, I'm holding my phone real tight. But it was in almost in the evening. It was getting late. We're on a ride. It wasn't even like the most radical ride. The ride was over, or almost over. You know when the roller coaster over is just kind of going into the station? So it was kind of like that. But some joker, I don't know who did this, but right at the, it's going in the station, and then right at this point, it had this little dippy doo like that. Just, you know, we're going to the station, choop. You know what I mean? Just kind of the last, whoo, you know what I mean? So I had my phone, and I was like, oh, you know what I mean? So then, and it was funny because it was like slow motion when this happened. You know what I mean? You could see it. And so we went the dippy-doo, and the thing just came out of my phone. I saw it going, too, too. It's like, bye. And here's what I said. I said, oh, shoot. Let me spell it for you. S-H-O-O-T, shoot. So I saw where it went. I said, hey, can I get that? They said, no, we have a policy. You can't get it. You have to wait till the park's closed. When it's closed, you can't get it. You'll have somebody try to get it for you. I was just praying I had enough juice to call it, you know what I mean, because it's kind of in the bushes. But thank God, you know what, we waited till the park's closed. They found it. We're going home. And we're driving home, and Tyler says this to me. He says, I said, wow, Tyler, do you trip out when that thing went like that and that thing went out of my hands? Here's what he said. He said, yeah, you said shoot. Why is that so striking to me? Years and years later. And it really impressed me. Here's why. Because my son was listening to what I said and how I reacted. See, parents, you don't live in a bubble. Guys, keep that scripture up there. Guys, you don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a bubble. And your kids and parents, I'm not saying you have to be perfect. Here's what I'm saying. You have to be diligent to protect your heart without diligence. You know, I was talking to somebody in the morning, and I said, you know what, let me tell you about Christianity. It's not automatic. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to read my Bible every day. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to pray every day. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to love my wife every day. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to love my husband every day. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to walk in forgiveness every day. You've got to make a decision. You've got to choose. You've got to make a decision. I'm not going to come Sunday. I'm going to come to church Sunday and Wednesday. You got to make a decision. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to support the family of God. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. Listen, you can sit and do nothing. But that's not what you're called to do. The Bible says in a house. Guys, go ahead, turn to that scripture. It's in 2 Timothy. Guys in the back. The Bible says that in a house, there's vessels. Watch it. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Don't go to the next verse yet. And you read that and you say, oh, yeah, that's true. Like there's some vessels, they're of honor. Pastor George, Pastor Lydia, Pastor Paul, Pastor Vegas. You know what? They are chosen. They are special. They're vessels. That's what that verse is saying. And there's some vessels and they're of gold and silver to be used of God radically. But in the house, there's some vessels of clay. And you know what? And wood. And I'm like, that. I'm not very talented. I can't speak very well. I can't read very well. First of all, I can't speak or read very well either. So anyway, but here's my point. Understand that God says, no, this is not God choosing. Look at this next verse. Look at the next verse. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of
honor.
If who? If anyone. See, listen, Christianity is a, you say, who is used by God? I don't know. Who wants to be used by God? Who wants to be, I'm just asking, who wants to be used by God? You know, I like what my friend said. Because what we want is I'm anointed to do this. You know, I'm so anointed. Well, are you anointed to empty a trash can? I'm asking, do you have a willingness to serve? Do you understand your willingness to serve? I like what my friend said. He said this. He said, you know what? If you are faithful to empty one trash can, you know what we're going to do with this church? We're going to promote you. And we're going to let you empty two trash cans. I say that because people don't get it. You look at. I'll use Joel for an example. You look at Joel and you look at the anointing on his life. You know why? You know why he's so anointed? Because he's willing to serve. You look at the anointing on Pastor George's life. Why in the world? Why is he so anointed? How? Here's why. Because he's willing to serve. He's, what's serving about? Serving is about being obedient to what God has asked them to do. Let me brag on Pastor George for a little bit. Pastor George was a senior pastor for many, many years. I went to the wedding of his son and his daughter-in-law, and when I had been waiting for our Spanish pastor. God had spoken to me years ago and said, you will have a Spanish church, and it won't be a different church, it will be your church. But wait. And I had very many people, opportunities, and I just said, no. And I didn't go to the wedding trying to recruit. I went to the wedding just to go to a wedding of people that I loved. Tamara and I were there, the kids were there, and I saw Pastor George do such a beautiful job in the service. But what I, you know what I saw? I saw his anointing to love people. That's what was impressive to me. And so I asked Pastor George, I said, hey, you know what? We started talking, and I said, hey, this is something that's on my mind. Is it in your spirit? And he prayed about it, he and his wife. They said yes. But can I tell you what? What I really want to brag about Pastor George and Pastor Lydia is their willingness to serve under me. I don't say that with any, I say that with an incredible amount of respect. Pastor George had been so complimentary in saying that he's learned so many things from being here under our leadership. Man, you don't know how humbling that is. See, listen. Whether you're a vessel of honor or whether you're a vessel not of honor, it's not up to God. Because God, listen, there's not one of you that I couldn't point to today that I would say, God doesn't want to use you. No. God wants to use you mightily in a crazy awesome way. Way bigger than many of you can even imagine. But he is restricted to the degree that you will humble out, focus on him, start to serve him, start to put him at a high priority, and start to put other things at a less of a priority.
He's stuck. It has nothing to do with him. Is this making sense to anyone? Did you see? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself. Now, that listen, don't walk in condemnation today. That's a liberating reality. Hey, how many know today can be the first day of the rest of your life? Today could be absolutely critical in you saying, oh, I get it. I'm in the mess I'm in because I keep on serving myself and keep on focusing on all this other stuff that doesn't make any difference. At what point do you get old enough to recognize I've blown it? God is always the right choice. And to serve him and to love him and to walk in forgiveness. See, you know what it's about? Well, here, let's talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an option if you're going to walk in peace. You're not hurting someone else. You're hurting you. Is this making sense to anyone? You know, can I just say this? Sometimes these little points of obedience, these little points of obedience make a huge difference. Sometimes you're just being obedient. So you just the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, hey, you need to be kinder to your wife. Hey, you need to be sweeter to your husband. Hey, you need to not be so nitpicky with your kids. Or maybe saying you need to be more nitpicky with your kids. I don't know what he's saying to you. Heard a story yesterday, and it was a man, and he went to church, and when he goes to church, he hears the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you know what? See this lady here? You need to give her something. You need to give her something. He's thinking, I need to give her something. I don't even know what to give her, and I don't even know her. See, God's smarter than you. He reached in his pocket. He had $5. He didn't have $20. He didn't have $50. He had $5. He thought, $5? How embarrassing. This is embarrassing. I'm like, ooh, here's $5. You know what I mean? How embarrassing. He said, I felt totally embarrassed. I thought, no, I'm not doing that. Holy Spirit kept on asking him. Finally, he submitted and said, okay, God, I'll do it. He walked up to this lady. He said, I know I don't know you. You know what? But I just feel like the Holy Spirit's saying for me to give you this. He gives her the $5. When he gives her the $5, she starts just weeping. I'm just crying. She says, that's so awesome. She said, let me tell you what happened. I came to church. I barely have enough gas to get to church. The Holy Spirit said, you need to get to church. You need to get to church. Don't worry about getting home. I'll take care of you. See, we have no idea that you and your descendants might live. Choices that we make that are going to not only influence our life for the benefit, but people around us in the benefit. How embarrassing. I'm just asking. How embarrassing. Watch. How embarrassing was it? You know the Bible says in the Old Testament when he set the people free, before they set free, he told the women, he said, have your women, he's talking to the Israelites, he said, have your women go out and ask their neighbors for, listen to what he said, all the gold and all their silver. Oh, and their clothing. One version said their fine clothing. I don't want your Kmart stuff. Give me the good stuff. Amen. I'm not saying, listen, if you wear Kmart, hey, wear it in style. I do, okay? Okay. All I'm saying is, here's what he says. He says, here's what I want you to do. And I'm not saying that the Bible says this because I don't know how many of them did it and how many of them didn't. So I don't want to say something the Bible doesn't say. But here's what I want to throw out to you. Is how many ladies were too embarrassed to look over their fence and say, hey, oh, by the way, I'm leaving tomorrow, but I need all your gold first and silver. See, how many times are we right in front of a totally blessing from God, but we won't be obedient to do what he asks us to do? Or, let me say it in the positive. For some of you, you are right at the precipice of walking in the blessings of God,
and you heard this sermon, and God is speaking to you, and you're saying, God, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. Let me put two stories together. You've heard this story before. Chandler and I go to a pastor's breakfast. It is, some city officials invited us. We're all there with a bunch of pastors. I'm sitting here. My wife's sitting right next to me. I'm talking to a pastor on this side of me. Tamara's talking to another pastor this side of her. This pastor is a small little church. We had pews. This is back in the day. We had pews. They were falling apart. They need to be reupholstered. Instead of spending the money to be reupholstered, we thought, let's just get new chairs. We started doing a fundraise for chairs. We had a whole $400, which means we could buy, whatever. They're expensive. So we can buy 8 chairs. I mean, no, we're not in a good place. Tamara says, she says to this pastor, he says, how are things going at your church? Well, great. We're doing this fundraising to, right, we're going to get rid of the pews. We're going to modernize, get some chairs. They'll be nicer, newer, more comfortable. You know what? He says, great. Then Tamara says, maybe you'd like to give us some money from some deacon's fund or, missionary fund or something to help us buy our chairs. And most of you know this story. She hears what she says. Okay, honey, I don't know if you're watching, but anyway, I hope you are. But matter of fact, Tamara's at home with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law's out of the hospital. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. So, but Tamara says she could feel me turning around and thinking, what in the world? Okay. That's her version. Can I tell you my version? My version was that, and as I remember it, I think this is what happened. But I remember hearing her and thinking, oh my goodness, she must be hearing from God. Because I know she wouldn't ask that pastor of a small little church for that unless God put that on her heart. What'd that pastor say? That pastor said, we couldn't do that. But you could write a letter. I probably know somebody who could do that. See, here's what I'm saying. Is there things in your life and you're right there? And God's not keeping you from the promises of God. He's not keeping you from the land flowing of milk and honey. He's not keeping you from a good place. Your disobedience is keeping you from a good place. Whatever that disobedience is, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. For many people, it has to do with, can I go there with somebody? With many people, it has to do with, just not being obedient in being generous. I'm just saying it is. And it's ironic because, when you teach tithing, there's so many people. I had somebody tell me one time, you need to stop that. You talk about that all the time. And it's just like, it's hindering the growth of your church. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now statistics say most people come to church, they're spending all their money on themselves. All of it. And you want to tell me that I should be quiet about that? That's crazy. But it's the same thing. You say, but pastor, if I do that, no. You're at the precipice of walking the blessings of God. Step out there. Because let me tell you what's happening. What's happening, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's selfishness in your finances, whether it's who you're dating, or how you're raising your kids, whatever it is. I don't know what the issue is. Here's what I know. If you're willing and obedient to do what God asks you to do, I guarantee you, you're going to have a good life. I guarantee you're going to have a good life. It's over and over through the scriptures. So why are you resisting God? Just give up. Say, we're going to do it God's way. We're gonna have a marriage God's way. We're gonna have a family God's way. We're gonna raise our kids God's way. You know what? We're gonna run our finances God's way. I'm tired of running my life. Here's another question. Here's another good sermon title. You know what? Who's tired of your life? Because you can have a good life. But you need to be obedient to God. You know what? The warrior, he's a great warrior. You know what? In the Old Testament. And you know what? He had leprosy. Naaman. He had leprosy. And all he had to do, you know what? It was like, hey, just go see the prophet. Just go see his maidservant. One of his servants said, go see, if you just go see the prophet. So he goes a long way to see the prophet. And you know what he said? He expected the prophet to come out and do, you know what? Oh, in the name of Jesus. Prophet didn't say that. Prophet's like, oh, hey, I heard the doorbell. Oh, yeah, that's Nahum. Go tell him to wash 7 times in the river. Here's a message. Go tell him. So the servant goes and says, the prophet is, told me to tell you to do this. And the big man, can I tell you what? We get preconceived notions of how we're going to run our life. And God should do it like this. You have no idea how God is going to bless you. Be obedient. Tamara, we thought Tamara's boss knew a very wealthy person who was in the furniture business. We thought he was going to do it. We didn't think it was going to be this other way. We get so. This is how God is going to do it. And he can only do it this way. Listen, some of you are at right there of walking in the blessings of God, but you'll never get there if you don't step in obedience. What is that step of obedience? I don't know what it is, but you need to go there. You need to go there. So here's what Nahum does. He leaves. Watch this. He leaves. With his leprosy. The servants run after him and say, dude, what is your problem? What are you thinking? If he would have told you, here's what you got to do. You got to take 8 pills 4 times a day. You know what? On a Tuesday with the Wednesday with orange juice. And you know what? And make sure you do a double backflip. You know what? You'd go, oh, okay, I'm going to do that. Guys, for some of you, listen, it's not complicated. God is asking you to do something simple. But you want to figure it all out yourself. God says, okay, listen, somebody's going to be in charge in your life. It's going to be you or it's going to be me. You choose who's going to be in charge. You want to do it your way? You want to figure it out your way? Fine. Here's the problem with that. Figuring it out your way, you're limited in the resources that you have. Do you understand that? So here's what you're left with. You got to figure it out yourself. So do your marriage yourself. You know what I mean? Raise your kids yourself. Do your finances yourself. Run your life yourself. They go to Nahum. They say, Nahum, what are you thinking? He asks you something simple. What does he do? He goes. And it's interesting because he tells him, wash 7 times. What does 7 times represent? Well, how many know 7 times tells us something? It tells us one thing. It wasn't the water. He said, dip 7 times. It wasn't the water. It's the obedience. I've had God speak to me and tell me, pick up a French fry and throw it away. God. Really? About a year ago, God started telling me. How many believe God still speaks to people? God started speaking to me and he started telling me to do these just little things. And I was like, God, what are you doing? I don't, I mean, you know what? God's not a legalist.
And I was like, God, why are you telling me to do all these little things? And they seem petty and they seem trivial. What's going on? He said, you know what? I want you to learn to be quick to obey me in whatever I tell you to do. It's not trivial. It's training. I'm trying to train you that you would be quick to be obedient. See, here's what I'm saying. For many of you, we're in the place we're in, and we don't have to be in the place we're in. And we're either going to walk away. Watch this. You're either going to walk away. Do you know what they did with the gold and silver? Do you know what they did with the gold and silver? Who wasn't in the first service? Do you know what they did with the gold and the silver that they took from the Israelites? You know what God told them to do? He told them this. He said, put this gold and silver on your kids. What's going on there? Well, think about it. These kids are going from slavery, their parents are in slavery, to now they have the gold of Israel, of Egypt, all around their neck. You know what God wants to do? He wants to change your mindset. God's not trying to curse you. He's trying to bless you. He never will tell you to do anything that it won't benefit you and your descendants. Some of you are resistant enough to resistant for you. Don't be resistant enough to resistant for at least your kids. Can I tell you what? Your kids will benefit. But you're going to benefit too. Somebody receive this today? Amen. So I want to do what we did the first service with every head bent and every head bowed and every eyes closed. If you're not in the family of God, you're not a Christian. You've heard about it. You've thought about it. You're just not there. You haven't been. But God is speaking to you today, and God is saying, come into the family of God today. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. We're not going to ask you to come up front. We're not going to ask you to go to a room. We just want you to come into the family of God today. You're not here on accident. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hands all over. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Yes, many hands. I see them. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down after I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Yes. Yes. See it in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Now, for those of you who raise your hand, I'm going to say a simple prayer. I want you to repeat it. And what we're going to do is we're just going to ask Jesus to come into our heart. The Bible says, we have not because we ask not. The Bible says, God won't turn away anyone who asks them in their heart. So we're just going to ask Jesus in your heart. And then here's what he's going to do. He's going to change you from the inside out. If that's you, I want you, you already raised your hand. I want you to just repeat this after me if you raise your hand. And if you didn't raise your hand and you're already in the family of God, say it with me to help them. Father in heaven, I'm asking Jesus into my heart. I repent for all the crazy stuff I did. I want to become a Christian. Change me. From the inside out, in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who raised your hand, this is really important. Find a good Bible-believing church. Let me think of a good one. Oh, yeah. This is a good one. So start to make a commitment to come Sunday and Wednesdays and watch what will happen. I'll preach a sermon much like today. It will be encouraging, and it will be sometimes very challenging. But you'll start to grow up in the things of God. God will change you from the inside out. Okay. For others, how many of you felt that you just haven't been obedient to the degree that you need to be obedient? How many raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. That sermon wasn't for the person next to me. That sermon was for me. You weren't speaking to me. God read my mail, and I want to respond. If that's you, I want you right now to raise your hand.
wherever you are, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand high. I want you to testify. You know what? And you're not, listen, you don't need to be embarrassed. You don't need to be embarrassed. We just need to change. Pray this with me. God, I want to be obedient. I want to be quick to obey. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for this message. I thank you that you will help me. I commit my life to you, that I will be obedient to you. In Jesus' name I pray.